I'm deeply grateful to Mrs. Esther Pitterman for having invited me to come to speak to all of you on this very special evening. I remember the very first time that I was on an airplane. I was 19 years old. I was going to Eretz Yisrael. And I was sitting on the left side of the plane. As we were flying a few hours, the captain announced that all those that are fortunate to sit on the left side will soon see a spectacular view. You're about to see sunrise as you never saw it before. I took out my camera, and the truth is that I almost ran out of film. Taking so many pictures of that beautiful sun coming over the clouds, first the dark clouds, the purple, the orange, the yellow, it was absolutely magnificent. The truth is that a sunset is also very, very striking. A sunset is magnificent in its own environment as well. But the truth is that as splendorous that a sunset is, every sunset has a tinge of melancholy. Every sunset has a tinge of sadness, because everyone knows that after a sunset, there must come darkness. A little bit more than a year ago, I had the opportunity, for the first time, to get to know Rivka Steinberg and the members of her wonderful family. But I got to know her in the sunset of her life. And the truth is that it was tinged with sadness, because everyone around her knew that darkness could come at any moment. But that sunset of Rivka Steinberg left such an indelible impression on all of us who knew her. And that's the reason that so many of us have come here tonight, to remember her and to learn from everything that she stood for. The Gemara says in Sanhedrin, Kuv Vav Amud Beis, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Libo Boy, the Rabbeinu Shel Olam wants heart. Rashi says over there, Rachmona Libo Boy, and that's where we get the famous expression, Rachmona Libo Boy, the Eibishter wants to see sincerity. Rivka Steinberg had a great heart. Rivka Steinberg had a heart that had a place for thousands of Yidden. Many of you know that she started health seminars for women. Some of you may know that she started a Chizuk Hotline for those people that have nebuch an illness, so that those people who have an illness can meet other people the same age who have the same illness. Rivka Steinberg started a Hachnosas Kala Fund that is now appropriately called Lei Rivka Lakala. But the Gemara in Tainis, that Beis Amud Aleph, tells us on the pasuk which we all know in Kriya Shema, Ula Avdoi B'chol Avavchem, to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu with all our hearts. Eizahi Avoida Shebelei, what is the true Avoida which is Belei, Hevei Oimer Zutfila. Avoida Shebelei is Tfila. How appropriate then that we should come together for the first yahrzeit of a woman who had a great heart, that we should talk about the avoida of the heart. The avoida of the heart is tefillah. Tefillah is so important, yet never so many of us take it so lightly. The Gemara in Brachos, Daf Vav Amud Beis, tells us a very interesting drash on a pasuk in Tehillim Yud Beis says. The pasuk is krum. The pasuk says that it's a shame. The Gemara says it's a shame when krum, when a thing that's so important, like roimimut, something that's so important, when that thing is zulus b'nei adam, when it's cheap by people. Tefillah is something that's berumah shel olam, and how sad it is when it's zulus b'nei adam, when people look at it cheaply and don't take it with sincerity. The Gemara in Brachos Lamed Beis Amud Beis tells us, Arba Dvarim Tzrichon Chizuk. There are four things that need constant chizuk. We have to be constantly mechazuk ourselves. One of them, the Gemara says, is tefillah, and Rashi says, She yischazek odam behem. A person should be nischazek, tomid b'chol taychai. Every time a person has to be mechazuk himself on tefillah. Why is it we all understand that tefillah is so important? How could we take it so lightly? And perhaps the reason is, because if any of us here daven three times a day, it comes out that we daven Shemin Esrei more than 1,000 times a year. All of you know that there's an inyan to make 100 brachas a day. If you make 100 brachas a day, then you make more than 36,000 brachas a year. So of course, if you're doing something 1,000 times a year, or if you're doing something 36,000 times a year, of course, after a while, you get used to it, and then you don't look at it with the kavana and with the proper attitude the way you should, because you're doing it so many times. And so that's why it's so important that we should have a kinnus like this, so that we should try to understand the importance of every time we daven, of every time that we make a bracha. There's a beautiful story that many of you may be familiar with. It's in Melachim Beis, Perek Chav Beis. And the story over there is about Yoshio HaMelech. Yoshio HaMelech was a very big tzaddik. And it came the time when he wanted to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was standing, but it needed repair. And so he called in his sofer, Shofan. And he said, Shofan, I want you to go to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol, his name is Chilkiyo. He already gathered a lot of money. Get the money, and we will be able then to take, and we'll be able to see how we're going to fix up the Beis HaMikdash. And so Shofan went to Chilkiyo, Akoyan, and Chilkiyo went looking for where they put all the money. And Chilkiyo came running to Shofan, and he said, Rabbi Yishleilam, Shofan, look what happened. He said, what happened? He said, you know, I was looking where all the money was hid. And underneath where all the money was, there was a Sefer Torah. And the Sefer Torah was open to a pasuk. And never, that pasuk is so frightening. The pasuk is in Dvarim Chaf Hei Lamed Vav. And the pasuk says, Yoylech Hashem Oizcha. The Eibush is going to take you, V'yetz Malkuchon, your king, Asher Tokim Alacha, that you established, El Goy, Asher Lo Yadata Goy Arisefa. That you and your family and your forefathers didn't know. He says, it's a terrible omen. I found the Sefer Torah and it's open to that pasuk. What are we going to do? He said, you know, we got to go to a Navi. We've got to go to a Navi to see what this means. And the truth is, I'll tell you a personal thing. Every time I have an Aliyah and the Sefer Torah is open, I always try to see what is the Eidishter trying to tell me with this particular Aliyah that I have. And it's an inyan when somebody has an Aliyah to look at the Sukkim, because there's a message, why Dafka, you got that Aliyah, whether it's Shlishi Revi, whatever it is. And so therefore, the Chilkiyo, Kohen Gadol, was worried. And so they had a choice. They had a choice. Who should they go to? There were two Nevi'im at that time. One of the Nevi'im was Yirmiyahu, and the other was a woman named Huldah. And they decided that they are going to go to Huldah. They're going to go to the woman. And so the Gemara says, the Gemara in Megillah Yudalat HaMazbeis, the Gemara says, V'yeshio Gufa, and Yeshio, the king himself, Hechashavik Yirmiyah. Why did he go away? Why did he not go to Yirmiyah HaNovi? U'meshadol HaGavah, and he went to Huldah to find out. Because if, let's say, it's just a question of interpreting what that pasuk means, what the future is, a Novi is a Novi. What's the difference whether you go to Yirmiyah? What's the difference whether you go to Huldah? Whatever the Nevi'ah is, they can't change it, right? So what's the difference? Why after did he go to Huldah? And the Gemara says, a Gevaldik Ateret. The Gemara says, Mipnesha Noshim Rachmani Yosein. Because Noshim are compassionate. So the Mashah says, big deal. If a Novi is going to tell you what the future is, what's the difference if she's compassionate or not? And the Mashah gives us a terrific insight. The Mashah says, no. Noshim are Rachmani Yosein. V'tevakesh Rachamim L'shanois Mero L'toiva. A woman is compassionate. She could see the same thing that a man sees, and she's going to be in this earth, it's filah. She's going to daven, and she's going to be able to change that thing. That's why they went to the woman. Because it's true, Yirmiyah and Huldah were both the same as far as Nevi'im were concerned. But Huldah, because she was a woman, she would daven more than Yirmiyah would daven. And she could change Chas V'Shalom if it's a bad Zerah. And if that's the case, then all of you sitting here tonight, all of you women have this certain trait. You have this talent that you're Rachmanias. So of course, it's important to listen and to learn and to see what you can do with tefillah. Because you can do more than I can do. You can do more than men can do. And that's not what I'm telling you, that's what the Chazal are telling you. Noshim Rachmanias saying, you have such a great talent that you can do so much for yourself. so much for your friends, so much for Klal Yisrael. You know, when I was a little boy, I grew up in Kew Gardens, and we had a very, very chashuv Rav. His name was Rav Yankov Teitelbaum. As a matter of fact, my youngest son, his middle name is Yankov, his name is Eliezer Yankov. I named him after our Rav, who was a very big tzaddik. Rav Yankov Teitelbaum, who happens to be the father of Rav Eli Teitelbaum, who is a world figure, everybody knows all the Gevaldika Torah that he's spread throughout the whole world with all his Dalazov and Dalashir. But he was the son of Rav Yankov, and Rav Yankov was very much involved with the children in our neighborhood. When I first moved to Kew Gardens, there weren't that many frum people there, but Rav Yankov felt that it was very important to have a fair faith. And so he himself, in his house, that's where the shul was. I used to come, my brothers used to come, the Teitelbaum boys used to come. There was another fellow, some of you may know him today, he's also an Afghan Godel, Avremel, we used to call him Avi, or Avremel Biederman. He was also from that group. There was just a few of us. And as the group got a little bigger, we had another leader, Mr. Zeb Schlesinger, Zolzangazun. He was also very involved. Every Shabbos we used to come. After a year or two, a young bacher moved to the neighborhood. And this bacher was a bacher, he came from the Bronx. He was a great knacker, a picha leader, and he offered to take over the group. So Rav Teitelbaum said, sure, the boy has experience, why not let him take over the group? And by that time, more people had moved into the neighborhood. And then this bacher decided, we're going to have a pirchei minyan. Oh, Rav Yankov Teitelbaum said, absolutely not. No pirchei minyan. And many people in the community started saying, what do you mean no pirchei minyan? Every place where you go, where there's an avodah, there's a pirchei minyan. Why can't you have a pirchei minyan? And suddenly, the whole community was split in two. Some people were saying, yeah, you got to give the kids an opportunity to lane and to daven. And Rav Yankov kept insisting, no, we're not going to have a pirchei minyan, and it's wrong to have a minyan just for the young boys, even if they make up a minyan by themselves. And somebody even printed a newspaper that was circulated, and the headline was Gestanden, pirchei minyan banned. Of course, my follower Shalom, who was very close to Rav Yankov Teitelbaum, would follow only what he wanted. But I'll never forget one Motzei Shabbos, my follower Shalom called Rav Teitelbaum, and he said to him, I'm going to do everything that you tell me, but just explain to me, why is it that you don't want to have a pirchei minyan? And Rav Yankov said, I'll tell you three words, and those words all of us should always remember. He said, Shteik and Potik and Shmois Yud Potik Tet. Moshe Rabbeinu said to Paroi, Binu Ureinu Uvzkeinenu Nelech. With our youth and with our elders, we will go together. A nation is not a nation of young people only. A nation is not a nation of old people only. A nation is a combination of young and old. And Rav Yankov said that there's a chinuch that you have, not only in learning, but in davening. Parents have to see the enthusiasm of youth, but youth have to see the understanding and the comprehension of tefillah of parents. And that's why in Kew Gardens, Ad Hayom Hazeh, in our shul, we've never had a separate minyan. Do you know that there's a very interesting halacha that is mentioned in the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch, in Hilchas Tefillah Simin Tzadik Ches, Sif Katan Aleph. And the halacha says, also, it's osur la'odam le'nashek bono haktanin the Beis HaKnesset. You're not allowed to kiss those little cute kids of yours in the Beis HaKnesset. It's an iser. No matter how cute their dimples are, your mamash can't kiss them. You know why? K'day l'kvoya b'libay. So you should have in your heart, she'ein ava ke'ava samotan. Because there's no love like the love that you have to Rabbeinu Shalom. So you don't go kissing anybody, even the cute little kids in shul. And on that, the Mishnah Berurah tells us in Tifkot and Gimel, Bishloah, in the Shloah HaKodesh, she gets very angry, Al HaMeviyim Yolodim LeBeis HaKnesset. On those people who bring little kids to the shul. You know why? Because Gam Ki Yaskino, when these little Tachshitim, when they get older, Lo Yosiru Mimin Hogam Arad, they're not going to stop their bad minig. Hashem is Chanchu Bialdusam, that they had the chinuch. Listen to this word, Lishishakeya, to make the people crazy in shul. Ulevazah is Kedushas Beis HaKnesset. What are these little kids that don't belong in shul? And if you have to get a babysitter and it means you can't come to shul, don't come to shul. We have no right to bring those little kids because it's bad not only for the people that are davening, it's bad to them. It's a terrible chinuch. They have to know that a mokum kodesh and a Beis HaKnesset is a mokum kodesh. But he says, Abel kishi yigil lechinuch.
When the kids get older and they gear l'chinuch, adarabba, yabienu itay, bring them lebeit haKnesset
and teach them leishev ve'ema uveyira. They should sit with kavod.
V'lo yanichenu lo zuz mimkaymei. Don't let them move from their place. And they should remember and teach them how to answer amen and kaddish and kedusha. So the first lesson that we have to learn tonight is that there's an inyan of chinuch in davening. Parents, sons have to daven with their fathers. Daughters have to daven with their mothers. And how do mothers and fathers teach their children how to daven? By example. Not by talking constantly, but by answering Yehishmei Rabba, by behaving in shul. And you should all insist that your children daven either with you or with your husband in the same place, not on the other side of the shul where they can't see them and where they can go out during Kriyas HaTorah. So that's the first thing that we have to remember, that there's an inyan of chinuch when it comes to tefillah, especially tefillah in a Beis HaKnesses. The Gemara tells us, Omer Rabbi Leza. Rabbi Leza says, Gedoyla tefillah, tefillah is greater even than Matan Tovim. You know why? Who was greater than Moshe Rabbeinu? There was nobody ever greater than Moshe Rabbeinu. And yet, only because Moshe Rabbeinu davened, that was the only reason that he got to see Eretz Yisrael. He was pleading, and Abishah said, I'll taste the daven, and I don't daven anymore. That's it. You've davened. I'm going to answer. Alei Reish HaKisko. This is in Brachos Lamedbeis, Lamedbeis. And the Pasuk is Dvar and Gimel Chav Zayin. Alei Reish HaKisko. Go to the top of the mountain, and you'll be able to see Eretz Yisrael. Moshe Rabbeinu, of course, couldn't go into Eretz Yisrael, but only because he davened was he able to even see Eretz Yisrael. All his Matan Tovim, that wasn't enough. Bilam, the Gemara, the Pasuk tells us, in Bamidbar Lamed Aleph Ches, that when Bilam was killed, when the Yidden had a machloikis and they had the war with Midian, and they killed out all the Goyim, and it says that Bilam hargu becheres, and Bilam they killed with a sword. So Rashi says, who cares? What's the difference how they killed them? They killed all the Goyim, they killed all the Minyanim. We have to know how exactly Bilam was killed. And Rashi teaches us a gavaldikas thought that all of us should remember. Rashi says, what did Bilam try to do? He tried to curse us. He tried to use something that we use. Our haslacha is b'peh. Rashi says, "Hu bo al Yisrael." He came in Yisrael v'hichlif umnasay v'umnasay. He tried to use our job with his, our occupation with his. You know why? She'ein noishim ela v'pm al yedei tefillah bakasha. We only get helped through tefillah bakasha. So Bilam wanted to take our role and use his mouth and curse us. So what did we do, Mida Keneged Mida? We took, because it says, we took the sword and we gave it to him. You're trying to use our job, we're going to do it to you. We're going to do Mida Keneged Mida, we're going to do your job. So what does that show? That our occupation, we get helped only through tefillah. And so you might ask, we have so many notions to Tzitzonius in. How come our tefillahs are not being answered? How come we daven so much? And the Chofetz Chaim gives us an answer. That if we listen to this answer, there's no question that we'll have Yeshua's from the Chomay. And the Chofetz Chaim says a remarkable thing. He says, imagine that you want to build a table. Imagine that you want to build a cabinet. And you have a hammer, but the hammer has no handle. Or if you use a saw, and the saw has no teeth, there's no way you can try as much as you want. There's no way you're going to build a perfect cabinet or a perfect table. Let's use our jargon. Let's say a doctor is doing a heart operation and he uses instruments that are not sterile. So that could be even more dangerous than the whole operation. So the Heilige Chofetz Chaim says, do you know that every word of Torah and tefillah that you speak from your mouth creates a malach? And this malach goes to Shemayim, and that's how you have your zchusim. But if you use your mouth for lying, for cheating, for giving false flattery, for talking Lashon Hara, so you're taking the hammer that you have to build a cabinet and you're breaking the hammer. So when you build a malach, you're building a crooked malach because your tool, your instrument is not sterile. Your instrument is broken. So that's what we have to do if we want to have that our tefillah should be answered. We've got to fix the instrument. We have to stop lying. We have to stop giving false flattery. We have to stop talking Lashon Hara. And then our davening, the malachim that we create, will be perfect. Otherwise, it's like using non-sterile instruments. So that's the second thing that we have to remember. Not only is there a chinuch and tefillah, but the chinuch and how we use our mouth. Because only that way will we be able to daven and create Heilige Malachim properly so that they should be a schus for us. I recently heard a tremendous story. David should give me the schus to write another book. I'm in the middle of one. And I just hope that this story will definitely go into it. And as a matter of fact, I just spoke to the people yesterday again to get all the protein so I should be able to tell it to you. The only thing is that certain people in the story don't want their name mentioned. I'll certainly honor that. But let me tell you a story which is mamish mamal al arayim. Some of you may know Rav Yitzchok Meir Shor, the son of Rav Gedalia Shor, very big Talmud Chacham that lives in Brooklyn. One day people called him and said, you know, across the street from where you live, there's a very special couple. They're not from at all. They're not from at all. But they're very bright and very intelligent. Maybe you should try to invite them to your house for a Shabbos. And a few weeks later, he saw them walking, and he realized that it was them, and he invited them to come in. They were not from Bechlal. And they sat, and they were talking at the table, and he saw that they were very derived and mentioned, very intellectual people. And he started discussing in Yonim of Torah and Mitzvot. And after a while, after getting to know these people for a few weeks, he said to the fellow, whose name was, I don't want to use his exact name, I almost slipped, so we'll call him Mark. So he said to Mark, you're a very intelligent guy. Why don't you try to learn some Torah? Why don't you go, there's a place called Ur Sameach in Spring Valley. Why don't you try Ur Sameach? He said, you know what, it's the summertime, I'll try it for a week. So he went to Ur Sameach, him and his wife, they were there for a week, and they were very spoil about the people that were there. And to make a long story short, they went back there, and eventually he decided that he's going to learn there, and eventually he learned there, and he became an Erlich Hayyid. One day, 2 or 3 years later, after he was already living in Muncie, he comes back to Rabbi Shor, and he says to Rabbi Shor, you know, I want to tell you something. You know, all my life, I grew up thinking that my relatives were crazy. You know, because my parents were not from, as you know, and they always told me that all my relatives were out of their minds. And I always believed them. But now I realize they weren't out of their minds, they were just religious. So that means that I really have a whole family someplace. Maybe you could help me find my family. I don't even know who they are. I know it because I'm related to some Rebbe in Borough Park. Again, I can't say who it is. I'm related, I think, somehow in a long way. Maybe I'm embarrassed. I don't really know him. We haven't had a shaykhus in a long time. I think if you could call him and just tell him that I would like to see how I'm related to him, maybe you could call him. He said, oh, for sure, I'll be happy to call him. So he calls this Rebbe, and the Rebbe says, of course, I don't know who exactly you're referring to, but if somebody wants to come, he can come. So Mark and his wife, now he's not Mark anymore, he's Moshe David, and he comes with his wife, and they come in, it was Sukkot. And the woman told me yesterday, as she told me 6 months ago when I first heard the story, she said, I took a look at the Rebbe, and I started crying so uncontrollably. He had such a gorgeous hagas panim, and in his bekisha, he had such kedusha. So I said to her, why were you crying? She said, I don't know what came over me. It was like the feeling the day that I decided to become frum. All of a sudden, I had such a feeling that if I hadn't made this decision, look what I would have lost. I would not have been connected to this person. And I just couldn't stop crying. And meanwhile, her husband was talking to the Rebbe, and the Rebbe is telling him, at the beginning to figure out that he's Taka related, and the Rebbe takes out old ksavim from this fellow's uncle, his great uncle in Hungary, that he was a Talmud Chacham and he had written Svarim. And then the Rebbe is recalling the history of the family, and he says, oh, you know, I remember that I was at Aunt Martha. Don't you have an Aunt Martha? She had a boy, and I was at that bris. He says, no, Aunt Martha has two girls. She doesn't have any boys. He said, no, but there was a bris that I was at 30 years ago. And the Rebbetzin comes in, she says, oh, Moshe David, it was your bris that the Rebbe was at. And then the Rebbe says, oy vey, I remember the whole story. And what happened was that Moshe David's father and mother were not from. Before they got married, everybody tried to break up the shidduch, and no one from the family came to the chasana because it was non-frum people. They didn't want to have any shaykhus with them whatsoever. And so therefore the Rebbe said that was the time when I cut off relations with your parents. I didn't want to have anything to do with them. He married a mechalel Shabbos, nothing to do with them. But the night before your bris, for some reason your father called me and he said he wanted I should be sandit. And I was thinking, to be sandit, what am I going to go with shaykhus? I'm going to go up to the Bronx where your father lives. He had no shaykhus, the family. What does he need me to be sandit for? And I was thinking of not going. And then the Rebbetzin came in and she said, go, go, not for the boy, not for the father, not for any reason, but just go to be misfollowed. Go be misfalel when you're holding the baby on your lap, and be misfalel that someday this kid should be a Fuma boy. And he said, I thought it went, and I was misfalel. And I can't believe it. Here you are, 30 years later, my tefillah was answered. And when I heard the story, I went out of my mind. You know why I went out of my mind? Because I remember, many of you who know me personally know that I'm a moyel, that one time I had a bris in Kew Gardens, and Rav Shmuel David walked into front of the Rav, also one of the Rabbonim in our area. He was the Sandik. And I saw that he was crying like anything when I was doing the bris. And I said to him, I was very close to him, I said to him afterwards, Rav Wolken, why were you crying? I know that you're not related to the family. He says, what do you mean? You don't realize why I'm crying at the bris? I said, no, I don't understand. He says, let me show you something. And he opens up a Gemara. In the back of the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, on the Kuf Lamed Amud Beis, in the back of the Gemara, there's a parish that I never in my life had seen before that, by Rav Eliyahu Gutmacher. And he's called Rav Eliyahu Greizitzer. And he says like this. He says that many people don't realize that there's a parik in Tehillim that talks about Brit Milah. Many people think that it's really Kapitel Yudbeis, but it's not. It's really Kapitel Vav that says, Lam Naseach B'neginoi Al Hashminis. And he shows me that it says in this Mefarish that any Chayla who's Misfaler, any Chayla that wants to be Misfaler for himself, should be Misfaler Choneni Hashem Ki Umlal Oni. Hashem, help me because I am unfortunate. And he says, you know what that means? Umlal stands for Ani Mol. I am a Gemalat Yid, so Hashem, please help me. And then it says something that I absolutely could not believe. It says, Vagam Yechavein Kol Odom Al Tzoroiso Ve'eis Bechi Hanimor. If anyone goes to a bris and you have any tzoros, daven and cry to Hashem when that baby is crying from the pain of the bris, shek koil der oila b'lim meinea, because that koil of the child goes straight up without any hesitation. Shek koilo gam tfilosay, and it answers and it includes his tefillah, because it's a halakha cry of a child who has no averus and now he's crying because he's doing a mitzvah. So if you go to a bris, zayt misfalel, the Rabbi Wolken tells me at every bris that I go, just when you make the chinuch, I cry and I daven for what I need. And I was thinking, Rabbeinu Shalom, this Rebbe, when did he cry? He cried, mamish, when that baby, when that mark, Moshe David was having the bris, and now 30 years later, the tefillahs were answered. And so what do we see? That if you daven, and if you daven at the right time, the Eibishter answers the tefillahs. It's just a question of sincere davening. But if you daven with the rizik of havonah, remember, the bris is one time when you can daven, but there are many other times. You daven and the Eibishter answers. One day, a couple years ago, I was learning with my oldest daughter. We were learning Hilchos Tefillah, and I was learning the Dinim of Shemin Esrei. And I'll tell you the truth, I was embarrassed. She asked me a question, and I could not believe that all the years that I'm davening Shemin Esrei, how in the world did I not think of this obvious question? And I didn't have an answer, but I'll tell you. She said to me, you know, Shemin Esrei is divided into three sections. We all know the first part is Sheva, which is praise. The second part is Bakasha, we ask Hashem for all the things. And the third part is Toydah, we give thanks to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So my daughter says to me, Dad, how could it be? At the end of Shemin Esrei, we say, Sim, Shalom, Toivo, Bracha, give us Shalom and Bracha. That's Bakasha. That belongs in the middle of Shemin Esrei, not at the end of Shemin Esrei. Why, as at the end is Toydah, we're giving thanks, why are we asking again Sim, Shalom? And I said, I can't get over the question. I'm mamish embarrassed. How many times did I daven Shemin Esrei? And I didn't realize that this seems it doesn't belong there. So I went to my Rebbe, Rav David Cohen, and I said to him, Rav David, how could this be, Tak? It doesn't even fit in there. And he gave me a tremendous teret, a tremendous yesod that all of us should remember. He said that a person has to know that the Rabbeinu Shalom wants that we should always have a relationship with him. And no matter what he did for you, even if you say thank you is not enough. You have to say, Rabbeinu Shalom, I'm totally dependent on you. Thank you, but please, I need more, I need more, please. I know that no matter what you gave me, it's not enough. I still need you. That's why we say Sim Shalom. What a beautiful teretz it is. And that's the way our topic tonight is tefillah, a way of connecting. The first way of connecting with the Eibishter is to know that we're so totally dependent. So even when we tell him, thank you for everything, we're still saying Sim Shalom. And you know, this week, this past Shabbos by Shalosh Udus, my Rav, Rav Shlomo Zalabam, said a verse that again I never heard, but it's so beautiful and it fits right in. It says in Pasuk Bereishis Chof Tes Lamed Hey, Leah said, Vatoymer, she said, Hatam Oide Es Hashem, this time I thank Hashem. And then it says, Al Kein Koresh Mo Yehuda, that's why she called Yehuda, Vatam Oide Meledet, she stopped giving birth. What's it got to do with one or the other? So the Makar Bracha, the Torah Tmimit, says the Gavaldik Teres, because she said, thank you, and she stopped. She didn't ask for anything more. So Vatam Oide Meledet. And he says also, when a person benches Goymol, so that's why we say to the guy who's benching Goymol, wait, Misha Gamalcha Toy, the one who gave you good, who you Gamalcha calls himself, he should give you more, ask for more, don't stop by just saying thank you. So that's the first thing that we have to remember. We have to be connected to the Eivishter and know in our tefillah that we're totally dependent on him. I once heard a beautiful story about the Chiddush Yerim. The Chiddush Yerim, of course, all of you know, was the first Geir Rebbe, and the next Rebbe was his grandson, the Tzfat Emes. So the Talmidim went over to the Tzfat Emes, and they said to the Tzfat Emes, you know, we don't understand. Your grandfather told us that if we have Kavona, when we say Honor Hashem, our Tfilas are going to be answered. And we had Kavona by Honor Hashem, and our Tfilas weren't answered. And he said, oh, you don't understand. You're having Kavona by Honor Hashem, or Yishiyana. Or Ona Hashem Atzlich, Ona Hashem, please help me. That's not what my grandfather meant. The Rebbe meant Ona Hashem Ki Ani Adecha. If you have Kavona by that Pasuk, Ona Hashem, I am your servant, then the Eivishter will answer you. That's the second way of connecting. Not only that we're totally dependent, but we're Avdei Hashem. I heard a phenomenal vort from Abel Yelapian, something that we can all relate to, especially women. The Gemara says in Brachas Lamed Aleph Amid Beis, we all know that there's so many halachas in tefillah that we learn from Chana. And it says, Chana himi daberes aliba, Chana was speaking the words that were on her heart. And Nebuch, all of you know that she couldn't have children, and she said, Rabbeinu Shelolam, kol ma shebarasa, everything that you created, be'isha, everything you created in a woman, lo barasa dover, echad lebatala, nothing is wasted. You gave me eyes, I should be able to see. You gave me ears, I should be able to hear. You gave me a nose, I should be able to smell. A mouth, I should be able to speak. My hands, I should be able to do things with them. Malacha, my feet, I should be able to go places. You created a woman, she should be able to nourish a child. She should be able to have a child. Please, let me have a child. And the Gemara says, Hashem listened to the tefillah. So Abdel Yelapian asked if that's the case. So then every single woman who's looking to have a child, let us say this tefillah. Let us say, hey, so you created me, right? With a nose and mouth and nothing is for naught. So let me be able to give birth. Let me complete my function as a woman. So Rabbeinu Yelapian said something gewaldic. What Chana was saying was, Rabbeinu Shalom, you gave me eyes. What did I do with those eyes? Did I go to movies? Did I watch videos that I'm not supposed to? Of course not. I used my eyes properly. You gave me ears. Did I use it properly? Did I listen to Lashon Hara? I didn't listen to any Lashon Hara. My mouth, did I say lies? Did I give false flattery? No, I used everything the way you wanted. My hands, did I touch anything that was mukta? My feet, did I go any place where I wasn't supposed to be seen? Of course not. So ain't a chanami. If you're an Eved Hashem, and you use your mouth, and your hands, and your feet, and everything, you use it properly. So ain't a chanami, you can have a tiny and a way to smile up. You gave me something, let me be able to use it. So that's the second thing that we have to remember. If we want the Eivishter to answer our tefillah, then we have to use every single thing that He gave us as if we are true Avdei Hashem. The next step of connecting, the Gemara says, Omer Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, this is the Gemara in Soita Hei Amidvei. Bo yura'ei kama gedoylim nemuchi haruach lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu. See how great humble people, see how Hashem loves humble people. You know, because when the Beit HaMikdash was time and somebody brought an oila, he got a schar for bringing an oila. Chatas, chatas, shlomim, whatever it was, he got a schar. But you know, now that we don't have any of the korbanos, look what it says. It says the kapitel in Tilim, nun aleph yutes, zivchei, loshen rabin, zivchei elehim, korbanos of Hashem, ruach nemucha, is a person that's humble. Ruach nishbara. Zivchei Elohim, Ruach Nishbara, a broken heart, that's like many, many karbonos. And so therefore, Eina Chanami, if a person has a lev Nishbar, is humble, and realizes that he's humble in front of Hashem, then the Eivishter Taka will listen. Because as it says in Pasuk, Zivchei Elohim, Ruach Nishbara, lev Nishbar, Venitke Elohim, Loi Sivza. Hashem doesn't reject that if you're humble. Oh, the Chiddush Yerim said of such a Gemara, you can't even say it in English. He said, "Tinidah adagansa zach me atabrochan ahar." There's no such whole thing like a broken heart. And that's how we have to daven. We have to daven with humility. We have to daven and know that everything is dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We have to daven as if we are Avdei Hashem. And Rabbeinu Yonah in Brachas, Davovam and Beis tells us, he says that you should know that if somebody is a Balgaiva, if a person doesn't daven with Hanova, lo yochel lo oilam, his follow the kavana. If you're a balgaiva, you're never going to be able to daven with kavana. And your tefillas chas v'shalom will not be answered. So these are the three ways of connecting. One, let's know that we're completely dependent on HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and if we daven with that in mind, then we'll be connected. The second way is let's know that we're Avdei Hashem and we have to use every function that we have, and then Hashem will answer our tefillas. And the third, let's daven with humility. You know, I want to mention now something that I know it's very difficult to be nizer in this, and I know men especially find it difficult, but I still feel that we should talk openly about it, because it's an inyan that the Gemara makes a point. The Gemara in Bracha says like this, Amarav Selvoy, Amarav, Kol HaKoyveya Mokam L'Tfilosa. Anybody who's Koyveya has a specific place where he davened, Elokei Avraham Ezra. Hashem is going to help him. And when he dies, they're going to say, oh, this person was an onos, this person was a chassid, this person was for the Talmidim of Avraham Avinu. And how do we know that Avraham Avinu was Keveya Mokain? Because it says in Bereshis Yutzes Chav Zayin, Vayashkem Avraham Bavoyger, Avraham got up in the morning, Elam Mokam Asher Omat Shom, the place where he was there before he went back to daven. And that's the thing that we all have to remember. Even women in a house, when they daven, you should daven in the same place every single day. If you daven in the kitchen, every day daven in the same place. If you daven in the dining room, every day. Don't walk around. Don't do 25 different things at the time that you're davening. Make a specific place where you daven, and that is your mokam kavua. And you know, the Ma'am Loye says in Bereshis, Yutes Chav Zayin, on page Shin Pei Vav in the Hebrew edition, he says a very practical thing. He says that, let's say you're in a shul. You're davening in a shul. You're davening in the same place every time. You're not going to look around because you know who's sitting next to you. You know what the trees look like outside. But if you daven in a new place, I'll tell you the truth. I'm embarrassed to tell you, but I'm going to tell it to you anyway because I think that we can learn from it. I have a brother-in-law in Montreal. And the first time I went to Montreal a couple years ago, I was in this spot. I'm a typical New Yorker. I thought, you know, Yiddishkeit ends at the border. What's doing in Montreal? I couldn't believe how many shuls there were in Montreal. And I was there for a three-day yontif, so two-day yontif and Shabbos. And every single time that I davened in another shul, which is wrong. But why did I do it? Because exactly what the Ma'am Lois told you not to do. I wanted to see this one. I wanted to see what this shul looks like. I wanted to see what it is from this angle. How to Hasidim daven, how to Litvish daven, I was having a great time, but I didn't daven too much. But that's what the Ma'am Lois is telling you. When you daven in one place, you're not going to be diverted. When you daven in the morning, you should put your phone on an answering machine. When you daven in the morning, you shouldn't be watching your kids. Let one of the other children watch. You should not be diverted. You know that there are women that can carry on a whole conversation without saying a word? They're in the middle of davening. I'll show you. I'll give you a small example. I've heard it many times. Right? Yeah, a lady gets a call. Hello, is this Fagin Lieber? Uh-huh. Are you meeting at 10 o'clock? Uh-huh. Hey, what would you say? You're going to meet me. So what happened? I can't go without you. Okay, don't forget you have carpool. So you have a whole conversation. And what happened? In the middle of Baruch Shem and Yishtaba. That's not a way to daven. That is not a way to daven. And that's part of being Kaveya Amokain. Kaveya Amokain means being specific and not having any diversions. If that's the case, then I really think that it's wrong for people to go shtibul hopping or to go shul hopping. It's true. It's very convenient. Sometimes you have no choice. You got to hop a minion here. You got to hop a minion there. And I do the same. But ever since I've seen and I've prepared this inyan, I've tried to stop it because I feel that Ein Hachanami, there is a special inyan about a tfiyas mokam l'tfila. But why does the Gemara say that you're an onos if you daven in the same place? And I'll tell you, I think that the reason is this way. The Shivli Haleka says every time when you daven Shemin Esra, the Shechina is right there. That's why we have to take three steps back, because the Shechina is there. Now we all know the famous pasuk in Shmoyis Chof Aleph, "B'chol hamokam asher askur shmi ovi alecha v'rachticha." Every single place where you're going to say Hashem's name, Yemish is going to come to bless you. That's true. But if the Shechina was in this mokam, Is it right that I should ask the Shechina? No, now you come to me. Here today I'm davening here. Tomorrow I'm davening here. Tomorrow I'm davening there, right? It's not nice. That's not an honor. You say, hey, where's that? Come to me. No, you have to go to that place. And you know, I'll tell you a fabulous story. And I believe that I'm going to put this in the book. I think it's such a beautiful lesson. You know, this story happened in Eretz Yisrael many years ago. And let's see how you were talking. Holy woman, I know you're Rachmanides. Let's see how smart you are. So let's listen to this story. Rav Shmuel Talant was a Rabbi Yerushalayim for 70 years. And he had millions of shaylos. And there was somebody who wrote a book on all the different shaylos. And I love this shaylos. There were two people who davened in a shul. One person, this was his weekday shul. Every day of the week he used to daven there. There was another guy who davened in this shul every single Shabbos. Every Shabbos, that was his shul. They used to host him one night on Tuesday night. Both of them had yard sites. And they both wanted to daven for the omer. So the guy who davened there in the middle of the week says, hey, listen, come on, you know, I davened here in the middle of the week. This is, I have the omer. I have the right. And the guy says, what do you mean? This is my main shul. I davened here on Shabbos. I have the right for the omer. So what would you paskin? What would you say? Who has the right? So they went to Rav Shmuel Talant. And listen to what Rav Shmuel Talant. Listen how intelligent it is. He says, you know, the one who davens there on Shabbos, he's the one who gets it. He says, why? He says, because the shul that you daven in Shabbos, that's the one you support. And if you support the shul, then you get the brethel. Then you have it. So, you know, I told this to a rabbi in Brooklyn, who I don't want to say who, and he says, you can tell it over. He says that even the guys who daven Friday night, they don't even support the shul either Friday night. It's only those who come Shabbos morning. So if it's taka true, that we have one main shul where we support, so taka, we should have one main shul where we daven. But my Rebbe Rav David said a gavalik of art. He said a different einfall. And why somebody is considered an honor? Because if you look in the pasuk, Avram Avinu, you know where he went back to daven? He davened for Sodom. And Sodom, he wanted Sodom to be saved. And Sodom was destroyed. So what does Avram Avinu do? He goes back to the place. He sees Sodom is being destroyed. And he goes back to daven in the place where he wasn't answered. That's anivus. He's showing Hashem, you didn't answer me. I have no time. I'm going back. I'm davening to you. I'm going to be Masaka Shachris. I'm going to daven about other things. Everything is up to you. Whatever you say goes, you're the one who decides. I have no time. That's the shadow of honor. That's the shadow of chassid. Even though Hashem didn't answer you, you're going back to daven in that place. And you know, it's such a beautiful story. I can't write it because you can't say this story in English. If anybody knows how to write it in English, call me. But listen to this story. The pun is so great, but it's only in Yiddish. Somebody once went over to the pun of Yerub, and he said, if God is to the Avish, then the Amphis Nish. So the pun of Yerub said, the Amphis Nish. So good. How are you going to say it in English? He doesn't answer me. He answers me. It doesn't work. I've tried to write it 6 times. But you know, you just have to remember it. What can I do? When I write a story in Yiddish, you'll know it. But it's such a beautiful thing. In other words, not all the time do they have to answer. Sometimes he's answering us no. And that's taka. Even if Hashem answers us no, like he answered Avraham, you go back to daven in that place. I want to tell you something I saw from the Maharal. It's unbelievable. We say that Avraham Avinu went back to daven. We all know that it's an inyan to daven when you're standing. What's the big deal? Why should you stand? So listen to what the Maharal says. The Maharal gives us such a great insight. The Maharal says that every single creature, except for man, every creature that walks, crawls, flies, or swims, the spine is horizontal. Man is the only one that the spine is upright. So I was trying to think, all the animals, taka, an elephant, a dog, whatever, a fish, everything. So I said to my kids last night, what about a giraffe? So, right? No, only the neck is up, but the spine is really flat. So it's amazing. Why, taka, does the Maharal say that the spines of animals are flat? You know why? Because they, no matter where they're headed for, they have to know that they're bowing down to man. They are not the important things in life. Men and women, people, are the important things in life. A man stands upright, his spine and his face towards Shemayim. That's why we have to stand. However, at the beginning of Shemin Esra, we show Hashem it's true, we stand. But we bow at the beginning and at the end of Shemin Esra to show, again, humility. So that's what we have to remember. It's an inyan taka to stand by tefillah. But let's try as much as possible to be able to be kovei amokam l'tefillah. So now how are we going to improve? We all want to improve tefillah. So let me give you 5 aces. 5 aces, how we can all improve and make our tefillah better. The first way is to make every tefillah a personal tefillah. If you daven Shemin Esrei, all of you know, everybody has Averis Nebuch that they do, and sometimes we get into a rut in the certain Averis that we do personally all the time. So let's say, when you slach lano avinu ki chatanu, don't go through it fast. Say to Rabbeinu Shalom, either in Hebrew or in English, Rabbeinu Shalom, you know that I'm always in a rut, I'm always doing this and this Avera. So, if you personalize your Shemin Esrei, then you're going to have the proper kavana. If you're ailing for whatever reason, and you daven Rafa'inu, as Hashem, please help me. I've got a cough, I've got a headache, I've got a leg injury, whatever it is. You personalize it. So therefore, then you're going to have kavana. You know, in the Oshkol Siddur, the girls from Oshkol are sitting here, but in other Siddurim also, they now have a wonderful tefillah that's printed in Shema Kaleinu, and it says over there, On Hashem, Chotosi, Aviti, Pashati, Ubefrat, in this and this Avera, you can pick any Avera that you feel that you want to be misfollowed for. It's a wonderful tefillah. You should always, in Shema Kaleinu, make it a personal Shemin Esrei. And if you daven taka, a personal Shemin Esrei, Baruch Aleinu, if you daven for your own panosa, so of course you're going to have in your mind to concentrate. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda HaKosher tells us. Rabbi Yehuda HaKosher tells us in Simen Kuf Nun Ches, Ukeshet Nisfale, when you daven, Toysif Al Kol Brocha Ubrocha Mein Yona. Add something to the Shemin Esrei. Don't run through the Shemin Esrei. Add something personal in each bracha. Ki bi yoyser hei machinim et alev. Then you're going to have more kavana. And the Shalot says also in the Yonah Tefillah, he says, she yechadesh divrei tachnunim uvakoshay. Be mechadesh. Make up something in every single Shemin Esrei. And like this, you're going to be able to be mechavim. The second thing is, as Rabbi Goldwasser mentioned, it's important to daven in a siddur. Even when you bench, even when you say Al Amichya, you'll be shocked and surprised if you daven as loud. By heart, you'll see how many words you're skipping. Everybody does it. Because we're so used to benching, we think we know Asher, we think we know Shema, and Vahayim Shemoyah, and everything, Krishma Lamita. But if you say it out loud, you'll be shocked yourself how many words you're skipping. So what you have to do is daven out loud, and daven in a siddur. And there's a beautiful remez, and they have in Megillas Esther, Perek Tes, Pasuk Chafei, there's a pasuk that says, Omar Ima Sefer, Yoshev Machshav Seharot, talking when Ahasuerus sent out letters to take away and to turn aside Haman's Gzeirah. So they say, Omar Ima Sefer, if you're daven in a Sefer, Yoshev Machshav Seharot, your bad machshavas will go away. The third thing, oh, let me tell you a great story. I'll tell you a story, because this sack is beautiful, you can learn a lot from this story. When I was in Eretz Yisrael, I heard this beautiful mic that teaches us about when you daven out loud, you're going to see things that you never saw before. Rabbi Chesed Abramsky was a Rosh Hashiva in Slabodka. He lived in Bayit Vagan, and he was very close. He was very close with the Amshon of a Rebbe. So it happened one time that Nebuch, the Amshon of a Rebbe, got sick. So they went to Rabbi Chesed Abramsky, and they said to him, Rebbe, you know, your good friend Nebuch was taken to the hospital, and he was given a transfusion. Oh, she said, oh, David should help us, Omar Fush Lema. And then he said to the Bachel, you should know that I daven every day that I shouldn't be given a transfusion. He said, well, every day you daven that you shouldn't be given a transfusion? He says, yes, so do you. What do you mean? Listen how he ties benching. How many times did we say this expression? He says, V'noa al tashrichenu. Hashem, please make it, that we don't have to come on Hashem al-Kenu. Loyally day, matnas, we shouldn't need the presence of vatar v'dom, a transplant of vatar or blood transfusion. So the Bacha said, Rebbe, loyally day, matnas, vatar v'dom means that we shouldn't have to come on to a vatar v'dom, to a person. He said, no, you're wrong. If a person daven and sees a pshat and tefillah that he feels relates to him, the Eibush says, Makabalist. Because when the Anshei Knesset HaGdolah made up the words of tefillah, they had hundreds and hundreds of kavanas in mind. So if you're davening in a siddur and you see a pshat in the words that is not the conventional pshat, maybe it's not printed in the regular types of the siddurim, but that's a pshat for you, and it works for you. That's what he said. Loyally day, matnas, vatar v'dom. Who would even think of that? Heart transplant and transfusion. But ain't a chanami. Many times we daven and a certain machshava comes to us. So again, let's not forget to personalize the davening. Let's not forget to daven in a siddur. And now the third thing. We have to daven for others. We have to stop thinking about ourselves only. How many people, everybody in this room knows people that are nebuch not well. Rifa'enu, daven, we spoke about this last year here. We said that if you, how many people, the whole Shem Nesha is Lashon Rabin. But do we really mean Lashon Yochid? If you're davening Rifa'enu, Hashem heal us. Every person should say that in your Yerut, and it's on the bottom of all the Tzedurim now. For all those people that you know, don't, not 22, 3, whatever it is, daven for Maya. Who, why in the world, if, believe me, I've gotten to know that wonderful girl, many of you know that Russian girl. If you daven for her, have her in mind, never. that Russian girl never who had that very tragic accident. Daven for her, daven for all the people that you know that are very sick. Baruch Aleinu. Who amongst us doesn't know people who are out of job, who are making less money than they made before, who are stuck with real estate, who are stuck with diamonds, who can't meet mortgage payments? We all know these people. If hopefully it's not us, so then at least we can daven for those people that we know. So when we're davening Baruch Aleinu, the Rebbeinu Shalom, we should daven for them. And then that's considered connecting. That's another way of connecting. Connecting with the rest of Klal Yisrael, davening for them as well. Shema Kaleinu should take us a few minutes, because there's so many people who have so many different sorrows, whether they're looking for a shidduch, whether they're looking to have a child, whether they're looking to get accepted into a school, looking to have a job. We should daven for others. I want to tell you a story that happened to me. Many of you know the story because I tell it over many times, because I feel that it's a mitzvah that people should know the story. And this story happened to me at a brit once. There was a lady that was crying, and I went over to her and I said to her, "Why are you crying?" I felt so bad for her. And she said, "No, I don't want to talk about it." And I said, "No, the Gemara says that if you talk it out, it's a little bit better." And she said to me, "This is the third time that you're in this house. And it's the third boy that you're doing the brit for. Why can't I have children? What does God want from me?" And I was thinking to myself, what did I open my big mouth? What in the world was I going to tell this lady? And so, Baruch Hashem, they used to put a thought in my mind, something that I always do. And I said to her, "You know, the Gemara talks about it." And the Gemara is in Bava Kama, if anybody wants to see it. It's Tzadik Beis Amid Aleph. And it says, "Kol hamavakei shirachim imal chaveiroi. V'hu tzorech lo yisadav." If you dive into somebody, you ask rachim, and you need that thing, who nana tzila, you're going to be answered first. So I said to her, "Find somebody else who has your problem and daven for them, and you'll be answered first." And Eina Panami, so, and then I took her name, you know, and I put the name in the yeshiva list by the tilim list, and I told her to give stuff. I took her name and her mother's name, and a year later, a lady calls me up. I don't know who she is, and she says to me, "I called. Do you remember who I am?" I said, "Look, Baruch Hashem, I meet people every day. I just don't remember." She says, "I'm that lady in Long Island who was crying." I didn't want to put my foot in my mouth again, right? So I didn't say anything. I said, "So why are you calling?" She said, "I want you to know I followed what you said every single day. I was praying for somebody else, and today I had a boy." I said, "Oh, I can't believe it." I said, "You made my day." And she said to me words that I'll never forget. She said, "I may have made your day, but you made my life." And that was so special. That Ruth was one of the greatest that I ever did. Baruch Hashem, since then she had another child. But what do we see? That if you're davening for somebody else, you're going to be a Nena Tchila. You know, there's a pasuk that we say at the end of Shemoneh Esrei, and the Mishnah Berurah says that it's a big skula to be mechaven. And this is the fourth way that we can elevate our tefillah. By the pasuk, Yiyu l'rotzon imrei fi, v'hegen libi l'fanecha Hashem tzuri v'goyali. You know what that means? Yiyu l'rotzon imrei fi, Rabbeinu Shemoneh, I davened Shemoneh Esrei, I didn't really have the kavanah that I should have had. Imrei fi, the words of my mouth, Yiyu l'rotzon, please, you know what they should be. You know what I really want. The Hegem Vibi Lefanecha was deep in my heart, Hashem Tzuri V'Goyali. So the Mishnah Berurah says in Simin Kuf Chof Bey, Sifkot Mechet, what's so great about the Pasuk besides the Taich? That Pasuk begins with the Yud, Yil Rotzayim, and ends, V'Goyali ends with the Yud. It has 10 Yudin in it, and it has 10 words in it. And Yud symbolizes Hashem, and Yud symbolizes Shleimus. So if let's say you davened Shemoneh Esrei, and you didn't have Kavana, at least, have Kavana by Yil Rotzayim Imrei Fi. The Tur Shulchan Aruch and Simin Kuf Aleph gives us one more bit of advice about elevating our Shemoneh Esrei. At least, he says, have kavana at the end of every bracha. When you say Baruch Atah Hashem Mechaya Amesim, at least think of that. Baruch Atah Hashem Mechela Chodesh, at least think of that. Baruch Atah Hashem Chan, you know, all Reis Echalei Am Yisrael, but each one at least, Baruch Atah Hashem, at the end of the bracha. You know why? Listen to this marvelous thing. He says, in all those Baruch Atah Hashems, until the end, there are 113 words. And 113 times it says in the Torah the word lays. And in that special tefillah that Hannah said after she had a child, there are 113 words. And so we learn now five ways how we can elevate our tefillah. The first way, let's personalize each tefillah. Let's add, like Rabbi Yudah Chosid says, add something to every tefillah in Shemoneh Esrei. If we personalize it, we'll have kavana. Two, let's daven in a siddur out loud. Three, let's daven for others, then we'll be helped. Four, let's not forget to have kavana and yil rotzayim. And five, let's be mechaven at the end of every bracha. You know, the Satmar Rebbe was once at a chatana, and a man came over to the Satmar Rebbe and said to him, "Rebbe, do you mind if I imitate you?" And the Rebbe said, "No, I don't mind." The Rebbe was very good-natured. And this man, he was a batsman, and he was standing in the middle of the whole olam, and he started imitating the Rebbe with the Rebbe's loud tefillah, and everybody was laughing hysterically. And the Rebbe was crying, and the Rebbe was crying. And the man, as he was imitating the Rebbe, he happened to catch the Rebbe's eyes, and he sees that the Rebbe's crying, and it felt so bad. He said, Rebbe, oy vey, he couldn't wait to finish, and he went over and he says, oy Rebbe, I'm sorry that I made you cry. He says, no, that's okay, it has nothing to do with you. He says, Rebbe, but why were you crying? And listen to what the Heilige Tanna Rebbe said. The Rebbe said, when I was watching how you imitate that I was davening, you imitated me so well, it was so perfect, that I was thinking that at times when I daven, maybe I'm imitating myself. You know what that means? That's so ingenious. In other words, many times we know how we're supposed to shake, we know how we're supposed to close the eyes, we know how we're supposed to say the words, but we're not thinking. We're here in the Siddur, but our minds are someplace else, so maybe we're only imitating ourselves. And that's what the Rebbe says in his brutal honesty. He has to worry that maybe he's only imitating himself. I'll tell you a story, a great story. A good friend of mine, Yaakov Solomon, just told it to me last night. What a great story about tefillah this is. He tells me a story that there's a man, Rav Nachum Cohen, I happen to know him, graduated from Eretz Yisrael. Great Talmud Chacham, and he's a darshan all over the place in Eretz Yisrael. He was in America, and he's in an airport, and he's on the way to go to Toronto. So he's sitting in an airport, and he wasn't in any rush, you know, if he didn't get on this plane, there were many people ahead of him. Well, I see a travel agent here, so she can tell you. So there's, there were many people that were ahead of him, and so he figured he's going to take out his steel tshirt, and he's going to be learning. Fine. There are two guys sitting on the side of him. They don't realize that he understands English. Remember, bright red beard, they didn't think he understands English. So one guy says to the other, you see that rabbi? He's praying that he should get on the flight. But there's no way he's going to get on because there's eight people ahead of him on standby. There's no way he's going to get on. So Rav Nachum Cohen hears this and he thinks to himself, he closes the Mesillas Yesharim and he takes out a tilim and he says, Rabbeinu Shalom, wouldn't it be beautiful if I could get on this flight just to show those people that tilim works? And he's saying this tilim. All of a sudden from the counter, they call, Rabbi Cohen, please come forward. So these guys, they open mouth, he feels a glance at them, and he walks forward, and they say, here, Rabbi Cohen. So this guy runs up, he says, hey, wait a second. You know, there's eight people ahead of him, and I'm one of the people ahead of him. We go first. He says, yes, I'm sorry, but there's only one ticket available, and all eight are traveling together in groups. So Hitaka got on. And that guy didn't. Why? Because if you daven with Kavona, and you daven with Erlich, and you daven with Shem Shemayim, so therefore then your tefillahs are answered. I'm not sure if it'll go in the book, but it's a cute story. I want to tell you something, something that I think is so important. As we said before, we all know the halacha, that there's an inyan of making brachas, 100 brachas a day. There's a gevaldik of Gemara, the Gemara is in brachas, Lamed Hei Amid Beis, and the Gemara says like this, anybody who has anah from this world without a bracha, it's ki'ilu goyzel me'akadosh baruch hu v'knesset Yisrael. It's as if he steals from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. So Rabbeinu Bechaya, on the Pasuk Dvarim Ches Yud, on the Pasuk Ve'achalta V'Savot V'Rachta, asks, and also in Kada Kema, a sefer that he wrote different essays, he says, why are you, I can understand if somebody gets something in Olam Hazeh and he doesn't make a bracha, I can understand that he's stealing from Hashem. Hashem gave it to him and therefore he's not doing anything about it. He's not thanking Hashem. So it's like stealing. But what's it got to do with stealing from the rest of Klal Yisrael? The Gemara says that he's goyzel from HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Knesset Yisrael. And the Rabbeinu Bechaya tells us something that's so gevaldik that it has mamish changed the way I make brachas, and that's why I want to share it with you. He says, what does it mean, Baruch? Baruch comes from the word brecha. Brecha is a pool. Brecha is like a fountain from which there is tremendous shefa of goodness coming. And he says every single time you make a bracha, it's a tehillah and it's a tefillah. It's a praise and it's a prayer. When you make a bracha, you're thanking Hashem for all the good, but it's also a tefillah that Hashem should continue giving from this brecha, from this pool of goodness to the rest of Klal Yisrael. And if Chas V'Shalom, a person does not say a bracha, then he lost a golden opportunity of being misfalo for the fellow members of Klal Yisrael. The Eibush is only going to give from this brecha as people ask on a misfalo. So every single time you say a baruch, you should think, Baruch Ata Hashem. Hashem, I'm thanking you. But you have a pool, a fountain of multitude of good. From this brecha should come so much food for the rest of Klal Yisrael. Should come so much kapara for Klal Yisrael. Should come so much refuah for Klal Yisrael. And that's the kapara that we have to have by brachas. To say a bracha properly means thinking not only of the praise, but the tefillah, that this brecha should be able to continue and go weiter. I just want to end with this thought. Many times, we daven when we have problems. But you know, there's a Gemara. The Gemara is in Pesachim. And the Gemara is in Pesachim, Daf Kufyu Testament Bay. And the Gemara tells us that La'asid Lo by Hashem is going to make a party. And he's going to ask all the tzaddikim to come to the party. And he's going to say to Avram Avinu, I want you to be the one to bench. And Avram's going to say, I can't bench, I had Yishmael. He's going to say, Yitzchak, I want you to bench. He's going to say, I can't bench, I had Esav. Yankov, you bench, I can't bench, I married two sisters and that became Mosa. Moshe, you bench. He says, no, I can't bench because I never made it to Eretz Yisrael. Yeshua, you bench. He says, no, I had girls, I wasn't a kind of mitzvah for you, Viruvia, I never had a son. So who's there left to bench? So David HaMelech said, I'm going to bench. Koish Yeshua is Esav, uvashem Hashem Ekra. And I was thinking, what does that mean? How could David HaMelech bench? It says that he had Nebuch sons that were Rishayim, Absalom, and Adoniyo, and he had so much blood on his hands that he couldn't even build a Beit HaMikdash. So what does that mean that David HaMelech said that he could bench? And it occurred to me, a pshat, you know what I think the pshat is? David HaMelech said in Tehillim, Sorah v'yogayn emtza, uv'shem Hashem Mekra. I had sorrows, and yet I called out to you. And look what he said. When things were good, Christ Yeshua is Esa. And it says the same Lashon, Uveshem Hashem Mekra. David HaMelech said that the same way I cried to you when things were bad, that's the same intensity that I cried and I thanked you when things were good. How many times we look for the shidduch and want to marry off our kids and we're pulling our hair out until that boy or that girl finally comes along. And then finally when the shidduch happens, do we daven with the same intensity and thank Hashem as we did when we were davening? When somebody's looking for a job, or looking to have a child, or as we said together, that's how it was. And so in summary, let's remember, all of you are Nasim Rachmaniyot, you have a great talent and a great opportunity. We have to be mechanech our children in chinuch. We have to know that Klal Yisrael is helped by the mouth, and we have to make sure that we don't hurt this instrument. Let's not forget that we have to have a relationship with our Kodesh Baruch Hu. We have to be dependent. Let's remember that we have to be Avdei Hashem and be humble. Let's try to daven in a specific place. Let's personalize our tefillah. Let's daven in a siddur. Let's daven for others. Let's think about Yil L'Ratzayim. And let's end every bracha at least with kavana. And let's remember that every bracha is really a brecha. David HaMelech said about his enemies that Tachas Ahavoti Yistanuni. Even though that I loved them, they hated me. Those people of Shoal, they wanted to kill me. V'ani tfila. But I davened for them. I cared for them. And Mepharshim asked, what does it mean, v'ani tfila? Should have said, v'ani mispalel, I davened for them. And the Pshitzker Rebbe says, the Pshitzker Rebbe says, let's say a person comes to your house, and he looks dressed very well, and he says, listen, I don't have any money. I don't have anything. So he has to explain, why is he dressed so well? He says, listen, I had to get into your house, I had to walk in the street, I had to make an impression, but really I don't have anything. So such a person has to explain. But if a guy comes to your house and he's all bedraggled and straggled, and it looks like the weight of the world is on his shoulders, and he hasn't had a shave, and he looks drawn, he doesn't have to explain. You know he doesn't have a dime to his name. David HaMelech said, that's what the Pshitzker Rebbe said, there are many people that in their daily lives you would never think that they care anything about anybody. So they would have to say, Ani Mispalel, I daven for other people. But David HaMelech, his whole life was concerned for everybody else. He could say, Ani Tfila, I am davening, I am compassionate, I care for other people. In our generation, Rivki Steinberg could have said, Ani Tfila, I am Tfila. Rivki Steinberg was Tfila, and Klal Yisrael was her siddur. Every page of that siddur that she turned, if she saw somebody's happiness, she shared it. And if she saw somebody's sorrow, she felt it. She turned the pages to see what she could do to help others. Where did she get that chinuch? From her wonderful mother, Zolga Zuntzain. From Mrs. Henu Greenstein, who started many years ago in the Sheyav HaSeset. From her wonderful father, Olva Shalom Rabbi Avram, who used to get ready Pesach days in advance because the last few days before Yontif, they were busy giving out packages. That's why Rivka Steinberg was the person that she was, together with her husband and her wonderful children. That's why she started that Chizuk hotline. That's why she started that Hachnosis Kala, which is called Lev Rivki Lakala. And that's why she started those seminars for women. We can only ask that now in Shemayim, Rivki Steinberg should do us the ultimate favor. She should do us the favor of davening with her great Lev. She should daven for all of us. Daven for her family. Daven for her friends and daven for Klal Yisrael. That we shouldn't know any tzar. We shouldn't know any Agmat Nefesh. That there should only be Simchas Vayidin. That we should all be able to rejoice with Mashiach. B'mheira v'yameinu, amen. And thank you for listening.